بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وانعم علينا يا عظيم. Now today's topic is a very important topic for the Muslims. Especially us living in a non-Muslim society, we need to know what I'm going to talk about today. On Friday was the first day of the Islamic calendar. The first day of a year of the Islamic calendar. Which most of us might know that we call it Al-Hijrah. The migration year. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. Now how did that calendar start? And when did that calendar start? And how that calendar goes? That's what I want to talk about today. Because of you being a Muslim, you have to understand that you've got your own calendar. Instead of 2002, you've got 1423. Instead of January, you've got Muharram. February, you've got Safar. March, you've got Rabi' al-Awwal. April, you've got Rabi' al-Thani. May, you've got Jamad al-Awwal. June, you've got Jamad al-Akhar. July, you've got Rajab. August, you've got Sha'ban. September, you've got Ramadan. October, you've got Shawwal. And November, you've got Dhul-Qa'dah. And December, you've got Dhul-Hijjah. Which Dhul-Hijjah was 1 week ago. And on Friday, the new year started, the Islamic year, which we call As-Sana Al-Hijriya. The migration year started with the first month of the Islamic calendar, which we call Muharram, the first of Muharram. Now how did it start? Okay. The normal calendar that we follow, it goes after the birth of Christ. Okay? Christ was born on that day. That means Christ was born 2002 years ago. Now how did our calendar start? Well, our calendar started not with the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So take that out of your mind. Not with the first year of the prophecy, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet at the age of 40. Also take that out of the topic. Not also the day of Isra' wal Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went from Mecca to Jerusalem, Jerusalem to the seventh sky, all that in one day and one night. That was at the 8th year of the prophecy. Take that out. It was the day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 54. Some narrations 53. That means 13 years after the prophecy. The 14 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet at the age of 40. At the age of 53, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the age of 40 to the age of 53, he was in Mecca. So at the age of 53, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Medina, the new Islamic calendar starts from then. And everyone knows the story of the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When and why? And how? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave his country? Leave his city that he was living in all his life, that he was born in? His old sisters come from that city, Mecca. 13 years the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after being a prophet, struggling hard to call the people of Mecca into worshipping no one but Allah Azza wa Jalla, and leaving and abstaining away from the worship of the idols, things that you create with your own hands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 13 years preaching to his people, 13 years calling his people into worshipping no one but Allah in Mecca, and how many people followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There were only few. Some narration says 80 in 13 years. Some narrations say 300. And then Allah Azza wa Jal opened a great victory to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions and our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proved themselves in front of Allah Azza wa Jal that their hearts are 100% for Allah and the religion of Allah and to uphold the new Islamic state. So Allah Azza wa Jal started to prepare the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to another city, which was called Yathrib, Tiba, and then the name was changed into Medina, and that city is about 400 kilometers away from Mecca. 400 kilometers far from Mecca. People who were Arabs, Arab, they were living in that city that was called Tiba Yathrib, which we know now is called Medina, where the Prophet's mosque is there. There was two tribes living in that city. One was called Al-Aus, the other one was called Al-Khazraj. And other Jewish Arabs were around that city. There was all the time a conflict between the Aus and Khazraj, those two Arab nations that were worshipping what? Idols. There was all the time a big conflict and wars between them and the Jews around the city of Medina. And every time the Arabs go into a war against the Jews stand up and say, it's time for a prophet to come out. Look, they know it. And Allah mentioned that. It's time for a prophet to come out from the Jews and to uphold the deen of the Jews and to give victory to the Jews. So when the Aus and Khazraj went and visited Mecca and they heard of a man, his name is Muhammad, calling himself as being a prophet, they said, Wallahi, it is the prophet that the Jews all the time threaten you with, so let's go and take a pledge from him and make our hands, the first hands to shake his hand before they shake their hands with his hand. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were only 12 people, 3 from the Khazraj, 3 from the Aus, and 9 from the Khazraj. They listened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They heard what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to say, and then straight away they said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then the second step that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, come next year with more people from your city so they could give me a pledge, bay'ah. They are Muslims. So the next year they come with 80 people. 80 people from Medina to Mecca, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets with these people. And then these people promise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Muhammad, if you come to our city, wallahi, we'll fight for you, even to protect you with our own money and family. Until the time came, 13 years after the prophecy at the age of 53, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the believers to migrate and leave Mecca, the city of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and go and establish an Islamic state in another city, which is called Al-Madinah. So the permission is given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Sahaba to migrate one after another, or two by two, but do not go out in a big group so no one sees you, then there will be a little of you of what you're doing, then they start killing you. Go one after another until everyone was gone except 3 people stayed behind, was Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Bakr, and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this proves to you what a leader is. That he'll be the first person and the first man in the front rows of the battle, not the last man. And he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, puts his life before anyone. He tells the Sahaba, you go before me. So I'll keep my eyes on you. And during that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu approaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once and twice, "Oh Muhammad, O Prophet of Allah, give me the permission to migrate to Medina." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr, "La ta'ajjal, O Abu Bakr, don't be in rush and hurry. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla is preparing for you a good companionship." And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu waits behind. Until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abu Bakr, "Oh Abu Bakr, it's me and you. We're going to migrate together to Medina." So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets so happy, never been more happier before, to be the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be the chosen one by Allah and his Prophet to migrate with Muhammad to Medina. And then the news goes out to the people of Mecca, where they start plotting against Islam and to destroy Islam. And they forgot what's behind Islam is that great word, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and they plot, and Allah plots, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is the best planner. You want to plot against Allah and plan against Allah? Well, Allah Azza wa Jalla will plan and plot against you. But remember one thing, you're going to be the loser. And Allah Azza wa Jalla and army will stay only the winners. So what was the plan? There was a house with people, where they call it Dar al-Nadwa, the parliament, which we call next to Mecca. All the big heads of Mecca gather in that house, and now they are thinking of how could they finish and banish Muhammad. Once they finish off Muhammad, they'll finish off Islam. So an opinion after opinion, one opinion was given, okay, let's lock him up. The other opinion was, let's make him starve from hunger until he dies. The other one says, chain him and lock under the sun, let him burn from the sun. Opinion after opinion. But they had a big problem, that Muhammad comes from a big family in Mecca, and that family is one of the leaders of Mecca. If they're going to kill Muhammad, if one person kills Muhammad, the family of Muhammad is not going to keep their mouth shut. They're going to retaliate. Even if he's a prophet, still he is from our family and blood, and we do not accept anyone to attack one person from our family and blood. So who comes along? Iblis, la'anahullah. Iblis comes in the form of an Arabian Bedouin man standing on the doors of that house, that parliament. And then they find someone. Who's that? It's a person from the Bedouins. Let him in. Okay, what's up? What do you have? He said, "I heard what he's talking about, but I've got a good opinion for you." "What's your opinion?" He said, "Get 12 teenagers, 12 young adults who are strong and brave, well known in your community, from 12 different tribes. From tribe A, B, C, D, Bani Zuhra, Bani Ka'ab, Bani Fulan, Bani Fulan. So make sure you bring 12 teenagers from 12 different tribes. And they're going to attack the house of Muhammad. And they hit all of them, Muhammad one hit. That the blood of Muhammad will spread the 12 tribes. Then the family of Muhammad, the tribe of Muhammad, which is Abdul Manaf, they can't retaliate from 12 tribes. They could retaliate from one or two, but not from 12. So look at the opinion. Who gave the opinion in? Iblis, la'anahullah. See how smart he is. And look how much effort he puts towards destroying Islam. How much effort do we put in towards upholding the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal? So now that plan is getting planned. Okay. Bani Fulan, tribe A, B, C, D, A, F, this, get a teenager who's brave and one know one. And get them together, and the plan is they'll stand outside the door of Muhammad's house at that night, at that hour. Then they go inside the house and they hit Muhammad one hit, and Muhammad is finished and namu Islam. But who was watching him? Allah Azza wa Jal. And who heard him? Allah Azza wa Jal. So Jibreel comes down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala nabi shabab. So Jibreel comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, "Muhammad, this and that and this and that's happening. So what do you do? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the third man that was left in Mecca, Muslim, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib, from the age of 12, he was living with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of the hard situation that the father of Ali, which is the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was going through. So he tells Ali ibn Abi Talib, "Oh Ali, at that night, you sleep on my bed." Why? Not because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was scared. So he could trick the kuffar by them looking at someone sleeping on that bed. There is someone there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets the time to leave him and Abu Bakr. So what happens? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in the house and plans the plan where Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sleeps in his bed. Now what happens? The 12 teenagers are standing outside the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what did Allah Azza wa Jalla do? He made them sleep. 12 of them slept from the doors of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting Yasin wal Quran al Hakim until he reached to the verse وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. That we made a barrier in front of them and a barrier behind them, that we made them, they can't see anymore. We took their sight away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walks out from his house and grabs a handful of sand and starts to put sand over every single head of one of them. They are asleep. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walks through them and he puts sand and dust over every single head of them. They wake up, they look, there's still someone inside. They open the door, they uncover, subhanallah. Who's that? It's Ali ibn Abi Talib. Muhammad has tricked us. The other one looks, what's this over your head? It's sand. What about yours? It's also sand. Muhammad has got someone from behind him. Allah Azza wa Jal. And now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr leave the city of Mecca. Leave the city of Mecca on two camels, going towards a different, a opposite direction to Medina. So the people of Mecca then follow them on the direction that people take. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, instead of going north towards Medina, he took south and around the coast, he went to Medina. And the kuffar are chasing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And an award being put on the two heads of Muhammad and Abu Bakr, that whoever brings these people dead and or alive will receive this, that much or that amount of reward, which is 100 camels. So everyone goes out for the search. And a small group of Meccans, they go out looking for Muhammad and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And Abu Bakr and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they find that small mountain with a small cave in that mountain. And Abu Bakr and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam hide in that mountain, that cave. And before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters that cave, Abu Bakr does not allow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to enter that cave before him. So he goes inside and checks the inner spider or snake that might be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and takes out. Then he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Come in." And Abu Bakr and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are hiding in that dark small cave for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And who comes? The non-Muslims from Mecca. Coming and looking for Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Then they look at that cave and say, where is Muhammad and Abu Bakr going to go? Except that cave. So they climb that cave. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu looks at the kuffar of Mecca climbing that cave. And he gets scared. Not scared on his life, la wallah. He's scared on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells the Prophet, oh Prophet Allah, if one of them climbs up and looks just down to his feet, he'll see us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches Abu Bakr a good lesson from Allah. Where he tells him, oh Abu Bakr, don't worry, Allah azza wa jal is with us. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Rabbil Alameen is with us. And if we're here for Allah, and Allah is going to be with us, who's going to harm us? Who's going to go against us? Oh, Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnayn illahu thalithuma. Oh, Abu Bakr, what do you think of two men? You, Allah is the third one of them. Allah is with us. And how could they harm Allah Azza wa Jal? So Allah Azza wa Jal covers the eyes of the kuffar where they don't see anything. And then Abu Bakr and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continue their journey towards Medina. And on the way, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will all the time circle around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to stand in front of him. The other time will stand on his left. The other time will stand on his right. Or stands behind him. And just keeps on going around in circles. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the unusual act of Abu Bakr. Oh, Abu Bakr, what made you do what you're doing now? So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu told the Prophet, oh Prophet Allah, I remember the kuffar, I remember the enemy coming from front, so I stand in front of you. And I remember the enemy coming on their horses from the right, so I stand on the right of you. And I remember them coming on your left, so I stand on your left. And I remember coming from behind you, so I stand behind you to protect you. Oh Prophet of Allah, if I die, I'm a normal person from this nation. And if you die, the whole nation dies. Look at the worry and the love of Abu Bakr towards Muhammad and his religion. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continues his journey. Where one Bedouin sights two men on two camels. So he goes back to his tribe and he sees a crowd of people sitting around and he says, I just sighted two strange men walking through or going past here. So one of those men that was sitting around, his name is Suraq ibn Malik. He found out what's going on in Mecca, that these two men, one of them, his name is Abu Bakr, the other one is Muhammad, and these two great wards over their heads left Mecca and going towards Medina. So Suraq says, yeah, I've seen these two people and they're just normal people going past. And then looks at them and leaves them and chases Abu Bakr and Muhammad ﷺ to be the first man to get that ward. And while Suraqa is on his horse, chasing, or going after Abu Bakr and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he forgot, there's someone great from behind that two great men, Allah Azza wa Jal, he sights him from far, and says, he is Muhammad and Abu Bakr, and his horse just drowns in the sand. He picks up his horse, stands up again, runs behind Abu Bakr and Muhammad, and that horse drowns again in the sand. And he tries the third attempt. Where he goes behind him and this horse sinks down in the sand, that he can't pick him up again. And he realizes that these two men, there's someone grabbed from behind him. And then Abu Bakr sights him. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, O Suraqa, what do you say that one day you'll be carrying the jewelries of Kisra? What do you say one day you'll be carrying the jewelries of the Persian king if you become a Muslim? So Suraqa knew that there's something great from behind those two great men. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr continue their journey until they arrive to Medina. Where the people of Medina, every morning that the sun rises, they stand up on the gate of the Medina, sighting or monitoring, when is that great man Muhammad that they all hear about? He's a prophet coming arriving to Medina. Until one of the Jews, and believe it or not, one of the Jews saw two men coming from far, and he screams up loud and says, oh people of Medina, he's your grandfather that you are waiting for. And the people of Medina go out and look, two great men with nur on their faces coming and start, Tala al Badru alayna min thaniyat al wada', wajab al shukru alayna ma da'a lillahi da'a. أيها المبعوث فينا جئتنا بالأمر المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة ما دعا لله دعا. أنشود a small power that the people of Medina start to sing when they saw the beautiful coming of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and Abu Bakr. At that moment when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered Medina, the new Islamic calendar with a new Islamic state starts. A new Islamic calendar with a new Islamic state starts. So that's what we rely on our Islamic calendar. When you see that number 1423, that goes back to that moment. That means that Prophet ﷺ was at the age of 53. And the new Islamic calendar starts because of the migration of the Prophet ﷺ when he stepped into the new Islamic state, Medina. And that's what we call the migration calendar, As-Sana al-Hijriyya. And the Islamic calendar has got 12 months. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Inna iddat al-shuhur and Allah itna 'ashara shahran." That the months that have been written in Allah's books are 12 months. So the same thing with the normal calendar, but with different names. And as I said, starts off with Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, Jamad al-Awwal, Jamad al-Akhar, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul-Hijjah, Dhul-Qa'dah, then Dhul-Hijjah. And the Islamic calendar, there's a difference between the normal calendar and the Islamic calendar, that the Islamic calendar goes around the lunar year, which is the moon. They go around the moon. The normal calendar is a solar year, goes around the sun. The Islamic calendar, there's no set date of the first month Muharram, is going to be 29 days. Second day Safar is going to be 28 days. Third month is going to be 30 days. It goes between 28 days, 29, 30. Most of the time is 29. Why? Because it goes according to the moon. Now the moon, everyone knows, there's a new moon and there's a full moon. Okay, there's no moon now. It starts, the month starts with a new moon, which starts to expand until it becomes a full moon in 14 to 15 days. So the moon is nothing, and expands and expands and expands and becomes a full moon in 14 to 15 days. Once it becomes a full moon, then it starts to reduce until it becomes into a new moon. So it takes 14 days to expand, then 14 days to decrease and reduce. So 14 days to 15 days, and 14 days to 15 days, that's either 28, 29, or 30. So once expands 14 days. Now reduces 14 days, there's no moon. And go, look around, subhanAllah, there's no moon around. The next day you find a bit of that moon just appeared, that means that's a new month. That means that's a new month. And then expands 14 days to 15 days until it becomes a full moon. And then it reduces 14 days to 15 days until it becomes no moon, until the new moon starts of the new month with a bit of that moon that shows, and goes 14 to 15 days full moon and 14 to 50 days no moon. And that's why the Islamic calendar goes around the Islamic month, or the Islamic month of the Islamic calendar. That's what it relies on the moon. Allah, you look at the other calendar, January is 31 days, February is 28 days, every 4 years is 29 days, then March is 31 days, then April is 30 days, then this 30, 31, 30. No, they depend on the solar year. Islam is depending on the lunar year. Now, don't get it wrong, subhanAllah. Allah, someone will go home and say, "Mom, Dad, sister, it's haram to follow that calendar that we've got. What day are you born on? Wallah, you're born 15th of March. Astaghfar Allah al-Azim, that's bid'ah. Why aren't you born on the 30th of Muharram or 30th of Safar?" No, it doesn't mean anything. It does not mean that by me following the normal calendar, it's a bid'ah, or it's haram or anything. No problems with it. But remember, there's also an Islamic calendar set for you. And that's how we go through the Ramadan. How are we going to know Ramadan? Now it's Muharram. That means, when is Ramadan? After how many months? Wallahi, it's in September. Okay, 10 years ago it was in June. So you can't... Okay, how do we know? Wallahi, now alhamdulillah, we're in month of Muharram. Then there's Safar. Then there's Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, Jamad al-Awwal, Jamad al-Akhar. Then there's Rajab. Then there's Sha'ban. And subhanAllah, after 9 months will be Ramadan. Very simple. That's how it goes. Okay, how do you know that Ramadan had ended? That's why you find all this time big problems with assigning the day of Eid, assigning the day of Ramadan. Because it depends on sighting the moon. Okay, isn't that a set day for the moon? Yes. It's either 14 or 15. Until it becomes a full moon, or until and then becomes a new moon, 14 to 15 days. That's how it works. So that's what the Islamic calendar depends on. And alhamdulillah, a lot of the Islamic countries, especially when you're in Islamic university, when I was in Islamic university, most of the time, on the right hand, they put the Islamic calendar. On the left hand, they put the normal calendar. So you find it, for example, today is the 3rd of Muharram, and here they put 17th of March. That's how it used to be. But, okay, the Muslims should depend more on their Islamic calendar. Muslims should, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's from Allah. The Muslims had it for us. Okay? So every Muslim should understand that there is an Islamic calendar. And this Islamic calendar got 12 months. And these months got different names, which we say, I'll repeat them again. Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, Jamad al-Awwal, Jamad al-Akhar, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. Now, okay, how do we know when it's Hajj? Okay, now, alhamdulillah, we know it's Ramadan. Ramadan is one of the five pillars of Islam. Ramadan is one of the five pillars of Islam. When is Ramadan? March, April, May, June? No, Ramadan is after Sha'ban and before Shawwal. How do you know that? It goes according to the Islamic calendar. When is Hajj then? In March. No, Hajj is not March. 10 years ago, Hajj was in September. Not Hajj in those 3 months. Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and Dhul Hijjah. And the whole thing about Hajj is standing on the mountain of Arafah. When is the standing on the mountain of Arafah? It's on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. That's how it goes. When is the big Eid and the small Eid? Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr, it's on the 1st of Shawwal. And Eid al-Adha, it's on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Okay, my zakat money. That way everyone knows that once you get $1,000 in your pocket, and one full year goes around that $1,000, you have to pay 2.5%. Is that according to the solar year or to the lunar year? No, it goes according to the lunar year. How many days is the solar year? 365 days. How many days is the lunar year? It's 355 days. There's a difference. And every time, you'll be and remember one thing, every time, okay, take it as, especially when you're Talib ilm means a person that seeks knowledge, Islamic knowledge. Every time you open an Islamic book and it talks about month and year, you put yourself in the zone of the Islamic year. They're not talking about other years. Like for example, if you're reading about zakat, and after 1 year, that means 1 year of the Islamic year, 355 days, not 365 days. That's how it works. So the Islamic calendar is for the Muslims. And alhamdulillah, Allah Azza also gave us an Islamic calendar. And it's like what one of the kuffar said, that Muhammad had taught his people every single thing in their lives. They've got the and greetings, they've got the and this, they've got the and that. Even the way they get into the toilet, even Muhammad taught them that way. And they've even got the Islamic calendar. So me, as being a Muslim, I have to be aware that there is an Islamic calendar. And how did the Islamic calendar started? And when did it start? And what it means? And when I look at that number, 1423 means the migration year, and this and that. I have to understand this, and I have to make other Muslims from my family members or my friends or my neighbors understand the same thing. I have to make them also understand. So this Islamic calendar, after 1423, stays alive till the day of judgment, inshaAllah. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهد امه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اصلح امه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الاحياء منهم والاموات إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفرة والملحدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم لا تبق منهم ولا تذر اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خير